You are listening to a life-impacting message preached by Bishop Richard Ayi at the Lovely Voice Experience in London. Bishop Richard Ayi is the pastor of the First Love Church UK, a denomination founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills. The First Love Church is full of zealous young people who love and desire to work for the Lord. You will be encouraged and uplifted as you listen to this powerful sermon.
Discovery. Amen. I think you can clap your hands for such wonderful music. Are you excited that Jesus is risen today? Can you imagine where you would be if Jesus was not raised? The Bible says that if Jesus was not raised, you'd still be in your sins. How many of you are glad that your sins are forgiven? You know, on my commute over here, someone asked me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church. And the person said, oh, you actually believe in that? I said, yes, because Jesus is alive. Yes, Jesus is alive and he is risen. Because he's alive, his word is also alive. So if you're excited to hear the word of God, help me welcome our pastor, Bishop Richard Ayi. Come on, bless that church on this Resurrection Sunday. Let's sing our song of faith.
Oh, we can not accept of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
All the way from the back, lift up your hands and let's sing our song. If you believe that Jesus is alive,
everlasting life. Yes, everlasting life. Okay. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for a beautiful weekend. We are celebrating the resurrection of our Savior. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is alive, that our Savior lives, Lord. Thank you for such an amazing grace that you showed the world and saved us all from our sins and from eternal damnation. We are grateful, Lord, and we pray today that you give us understanding of this great sacrifice and great work which was done on Calvary's cross. Thank you for the blessing of church and the blessing of fellowship, above all, salvation, Lord. We are grateful. Be glorified, be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful. Put your hands together for Jesus. Your seats. Take your seats. Are you blessed on Easter Sunday? Okay. I think we should welcome Mother Dianara to say something to us about Resurrection Sunday. Don't you think it's a good idea? Please put your hands together for her.
Wow. Amen. What a blessing. You can sit down quickly.
They will sit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm so happy that we're all in church today with our pastor, Bishop Richard Ayi, on Easter Sunday. And I'm very expectant and excited for the message that he's about to preach. Today is the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And I believe that all of the dead things in your life are about to rise. Jesus, as the word of God comes. So let's put our hands together for Bishop Richard!
Okay, take your seats. Yes. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Okay. Today is Resurrection Sunday, isn't it? Turn your Bibles. You like to turn your Bibles somewhere, isn't it? John chapter 19. To those of you who don't know, today is the most important day in the Christian calendar and in the life of a Christian. I'll show you the verse soon why today is so important. Christmas Day is important. Christmas Day is beautiful. But I think today is the day. Yeah, today is the day. It's the day because it is the day. Okay. Have you found John chapter 19? And I believe I want to read verse 28, which says that after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. So this is on Good Friday, you know, because leading up to today was a bit of a journey. Like any great thing, to achieve any great thing and to see any great thing done or accomplished, you should know that it's going to take, or it takes a while, and it takes many things. You go through many things before you see. I don't know whether the word is greatness. The word I want to use is accomplishment. Before you see something fulfilled, something accomplished, something done, there are a lot of junctions and a lot of things that you have to overcome. And a lot of things you have to go through. This especially should encourage those of us who feel that things just happen. And so when things are not just happening, you feel it's not working. But it is actually working. It's actually working. Because many people, when you meet them, by the time they look accomplished in life, and they look like they have made it in life, they'll tell you that it's by grace. They'll tell you it's by grace. And they actually mean it, that it's by grace. Because the winds and the storms and the humbling experiences that they have been through, it takes away, it strips you off all pride, arrogance, and thinking that it's by might and by yourself. You know, it just takes everything possible away from you, and you will discover that it's actually by the grace of God. So you see these words that Jesus is saying, that the scripture is saying, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished. It's like, I have been through, you know, we read some of the things, we call it stations of the cross. Yes, stations. It's like he has been through all the things. No, but the biggest one was today. Wow. Yes, the biggest one was today to overcome death. To overcome death. The power to overcome death was the greatest one that Jesus overcame, so that we can also overcome death. And so that we can also overcome it. I pray that we'll have time to get there. So very quickly, I want to go through some of the things and pray that we will arrive at Easter Sunday. Okay, so we can arrive at Easter Sunday. Luke chapter 18. Look at Luke chapter 18 and verse 31. Beautiful, beautiful sound. Luke 18, verse 31, it says that, and he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Can you imagine that as you are seated here, there are several things written about you that you have to accomplish to become what God wants you to be, or what God called you to be, or what God chose you to be. And failure to cross some of the junctions or to go through some of the things. And it's not everything that is pleasant. It's not everything that is pleasant. I mean, this journey that Jesus went through, I can't even see one thing that is nice. No, I can't see one thing that is nice. That's a nice thing. I mean, so to even think of it that this is his father's plan for him. It's almost unbelievable. Because for us, and especially for charismatic Christians, when we meet a challenge or a difficulty, it's like, no, God has left us. Hey, that is when we start binding. Or that is when we become offended, and the person or the people that are serving that bitter dish, we just move away from that. We move away with our pride, and perhaps God just sends some people into your life just to strip you of some little arrogance, you know, that can destroy you. And pride that can destroy, but that is exactly what we don't like. And then we prefer the people that will pamper us, praise us, you know, where there's no problem. It's like where there's no problem, there's God. Yes. That's the mindset, that's the understanding. Where there are no challenges, where there's no, it's like that is where God is. Once it's not difficult, it is God. Once it's not challenging, it is God. Once it's not painful, it is God. Once it's not embarrassing, it is God. All these is like anything other than this cannot be God. As soon as he has any of these traits, it's like that means that there are demons around. You even have people that you can't even correct. You can't even talk to. You know, this morning, Prophet was reading a verse, reading a passage, I mean, at the beginning of the Flow Church, and he was just talking about the church. You know, how the church involves instruction, correction, rebuke, but that's not what we like. When you try instructing people, correcting them, talking to them, it's like you are Satan. Oh yes, it's like you are Satan. Why do I say that it's like you are Satan? Because they will leave you. When someone leaves your company, it means the person said that I don't like you. How many of you have broken up with a beloved before, or you have been broken up with before? Oh, I'm asking a question. How many of you have been there? You have been broken up with, or you have broken up? Oh, I can't see your hands. Why are your hands like this? How many of you like $1 million tomorrow? Okay, so since my English is clear, I'm asking a question. How many of you were in a relationship and you broke up, or someone broke up with you? Do you understand? It's not, yes. Uh-huh. I don't understand the discussions. It's just a simple question. Yes or no? I don't know why you are discussing, why you are explaining yourself to someone. Well, you can't keep quiet and lift up your hand. Is it difficult to achieve? So why are you explaining yourself to someone? Yes. Put your hands down. I don't have such an experience. It's true. Nobody has left me, neither have I left someone. Yeah. By the grace of God. not because I'm so good or so, I mean, no. By the grace of God. By the grace of God and the fear of my mother. Yeah. I didn't think I liked him. When I liked, that's it. That's the person I'm still with. Yes, when I liked. I said, okay, I like you. You like? She said she likes. Here we are. Yeah. So I didn't get that. But with the point anyway. The point I'm making is that you see the person you lifted up your hand about. You didn't like the person. Or there was something about the person you didn't like. Or the person didn't like something about you. So they left you. Yes, that's what it means. There was something about you they didn't like. They didn't like something about you. And you could see that, and you perhaps you even felt sad because you know that you are not that bad. It's just this one thing. Something very little, because you are nice. For the person even to come that close, even to enter into a relationship, means that there's something about you that the person likes. Or even forget about the person. There's something nice about you. You're a nice person. You're actually a nice person. Till the person discovers this thing and says that, no, I don't like this. Maybe even told you that I don't like it and you didn't want to change. Because you felt you've got it wrapped and signed. But some of the people are wild. Till the day when you are pronounced husband and wife, don't think he can run. Oh no, some of the people are wild. Some of the people are wild. When you see someone depart, it's a message. It is the same thing in the church. You see someone who has been with you for years, been around, and the person departs. The person is saying that, I don't like you anymore. Oh yes. I don't like your preaching. I don't like your anointing. I don't like your calling. I mean, it's like, I don't like you. Yes. Or I don't like you to be the one to be giving me instructions and be telling me what to do. And be, I can't take it from you. Period. What you do? Yes. Just as you also lifted up your hand, you two didn't like someone. Or someone didn't like you. Yes. Yes. I saw husbands and wives, both of them lifting up their hands. Yes. But thank God they have found someone who likes it. Yes. They have found each other. Yes. Yes. All they have to do is to tell the person who says that you don't know what you are missing. Yes. So here, let's roll. Have you understood what I've said so far? Yes. There are things that you have to go through: stations, junctions, points, experiences, encounters that you have to go through before you can become anything that really, and they are necessary. They are necessary things. They are important things. But it's necessary. You have to. Plus other things that are still ongoing that you have to go through.
No, this one, I know him. It's okay. You understand? So the scripture we are reading is saying that, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Everything shall be fulfilled. Everything will come to pass. It's like nothing will be left. To the things you are going through and the things you see in your life, especially the not so pleasant things, you just have to know. You just have to know that everything is going to work together for your good. It is for God's intention and God's mind about you is that you will come out well and you will do well. That's all. You have to understand that anything that is coming, you have to know that God is with you and God is helping you. And especially whether it's correction, whether it's rebuke, whether it's reproof, whatever it is, you have to know that, look, God is working on you. You cannot say that, you know, it should be easy. It's not going to be easy. I don't know why we like easy. I don't know why we like easy, but it's not always like that. It's not always easy. It's rare. Easy is very rare. I mean, the easiest time you have seen in your life, was it not in nursery? As you've advanced in life and, you know, you are gaining qualifications, you are moving on, and you are going up, have things not become more and more difficult? More and more difficult. Yes. The easiest is nursery. The easiest is nursery. My nursery teacher was called Miss Mary. How I miss her. Because the only thing she'll give you is toys to play with, and she'll sit and read stories to us. We sit on a mat. And Miss Mary will be sitting there reading stories to us. I remember Miss Mary. I remember her. After Miss Mary, the people became more and more wicked. Yes. Yes. More and more wicked. It wasn't getting any better. It wasn't getting any better. More and more wicked. And then you finish and you start working. They meet more wicked people. Yes. But you see, all makes you into. It's amazing that when it gets to God, then you discover that God seems to like you. God seems to like you. God seems to like the way you are becoming and what you are becoming. It's like, it's almost as though that is what he likes. It's like we can't understand it, but that's him. He seems to like it. After you've been thrown away here, bumped off here, been through this here, it's almost as though God says, it's like, I really like you. Yeah, you actually feel that God really likes you. God really likes you. He really wants you. Because that is where you see God giving you things that man cannot give you. Oh yes, God starts releasing things into your life, into the ministry, into the church that man can never give to you. Can never. It can only be God. It can only be God. And that's what you see. The more he blesses you, the more your accusers and your enemies start discounting what a blessing is. Oh yes. Oh yes. When people see that your church has grown, you have crowds, then they'll say, crowds doesn't mean God is with you. But what does it mean? I don't want to say your mouth. Yes. Yeah. I mean, look at our dear prophet, our dear pastor. As the people have lambasted, people have done this. He has filled the stadium. He has filled the stands, and he has filled the field. not on Good Friday, or not just Good Friday, in Monrovia, in someone's country, in another country. He arrives there and the FIFA stadium is filled. And then he comes to his own city, the stadium is filled. Because people are without honor in their own country. But in his own country, he has been honored. And then you will see the against will say that, crowd doesn't mean that God is with crowd. Doesn't mean that what is to be. Crowd. It's like saying that having money doesn't mean you are rich. So I'm saying that there's some mystery that it seems as though when you go through some things, that is when rather God is saying that, I like you. I like you. You are the one that I like. You are the one that I like. You seem to be the one that you seem to be what I want. Never be disappointed. Don't be disappointed in yourself. Don't be disappointed in yourself that something is difficult. Something doesn't seem to be working the way you want it to work. Have faith in God. Keep your trust in God. Hold on to God. Hold on to Him. Yes, hold on to Him. Don't feel, you see, the wind blowing here. You have to go. It's like you are being shaped. Have you baked or roasted something before? Have you seen how you look at the thing through the glass? You don't touch it. You look at it through the glass. And the thing is burning. Can you imagine how the mixture is feeling? Or how that chicken or lamb. BK likes lamb. We're looking at the thing and you look at it through the glass. So you don't even open it for some of the heat to even escape. For it to say, you look at it through the glass. And you say, no, burn some more. And then it gets to a point when it is really burnt. And then you say, this is what I like. I really like it. I really like it. This is what I want. This is what I want. Yes. This is what I want. You see, that's why you say, today is Resurrection Sunday. The day is Resurrection Sunday. No, I read a note to you. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Do you know what resurrection means? Resurrection means coming out of the of you. No, let me put it this way. Resurrection means that you have to die. You have to die. If you don't die, there'll be no resurrection. You have to die. Yes, you have to die. There has to be a dying. If there's no dying, you can't. An alive person cannot say, I've resurrected. I mean, like me, you know, I have not died. So you cannot say to me today that I have resurrected. No, because have you heard that I died? Do you hear that I died on Friday? No, I have not died. By the grace of God, I have not died. I'm there, alive. I've been eating and sleeping. Yes, but to resurrect means that you die and come back. I mean, it is the last thing you wish on anybody or you want to experience, to die. But it seems God wants us to die. And then he will say, I mean, you see, I don't know. The fellowship in heaven, what it looks like. You'll be saying that, this is how I want Phyllis. This is how I want him. Now I can give her what I alone can give. Which is anointings and gift. That one you can't buy from a shop. And you can't fake it. You can't fake it. To have tens of thousands gathered like that and say that it's not God. Then all those people are mad. Then all those people are mad. Those who are mad, yes, they are all mad to gather like this and go and listen to someone that God is not with them. And they are all mad. But that is actually the anointing and the grace. So he says, you are there God is watching. You know, sometimes you want to escape. And it's like God is looking at you through the glass of the oven. And say, no, you know, sometimes you adjust the heat. You, in the sense that you increase it. More heat. Because the thing is not, it's not as golden as you want it. Yes. Your pork belly is not crackling. Yes. It's not crackling. Sit down. Yes. So before we get to the resurrection, which also applies to us, which Paul actually wrote and said, the fellowship of his sufferings, that we become fellows. Then he said, be made conformable. I don't know what conformable means. Can you give us it in English? Can you give us a translation that we can understand? Be made, I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. How do you share something? It means that you must be involved. You must be involved. Have you noticed that? When you are corrected, when you are rebuked, then you feel, instead of accepting and yielding, do you understand? Yielding means accepting. Those of you have been sending me texts, what does it mean to yield? When you have yielded and accepted the correction, you will not be asking questions and interviewing the whole world. When it's very clear, when you have been told, sit down. You want a discussion about being told to sit down. How should I sit? Should I sit upright? Should I slouch? Should I this? Why should they say sit? And then you heard clear that sit. You see, your pride and your arrogance is still fighting the instructions because you don't want to obey. If you don't obey, be there. We are watching. We are watching you. Watching you through the glass. Next time you are baking or roasting something, when you are looking, know that the thing can also see you, even if it's lamb leg. Know that the leg can also see you. If only the lamb will believe that you want it to get to a point where you will really like it to be relaxed in the heat. I don't know whether you can ever relax in the heat. It's not easy, but it's like it just wants to get to the point where I can work with you now. I can relate with you. Yes, I can relate with you. You see, people, the way we are reactionary, I can tell that we are far from how God would use. Far. And it's not like my idea. How can you be exempted from that? How can you be exempted? How can you be exempted from what Abraham went through? What Isaac went through? What David went through? What Job went through? Why do you want to be exempted? And have the same anointing, the same glory? If you want to be tardious, yes, you can be tardious. You don't go through anything. You don't even know what tardious is, isn't it? Exactly. Exactly. That's the whole point. But you want to be a Peter? Look at what Peter went through. Look at what Peter went through and still Jesus liked him. He believed himself so much. It was proven to him that you are not as loyal as you think you are. You are not as loyal as you think you are. You are not as committed as you think you are. A little girl came. Peter started saying that. Someone that Jesus has been to his wife's mother's house to go and pray for his wife's mother. Not for his wife, for his wife's mother. Yes. Then you say, I don't know him. I mean, that's what he said. He said, I don't know him. Yes. So you've been with for 3 years, eating with him. He's taught you even, you couldn't even catch fish. He taught you how to do it for the fish to come. You say you don't know him. But he didn't know that this thing was in him. Yeah. There are people, if I told them 5 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago, that 20, which year are we in? Not 2023. 2024, you will leave the church. You abandon the church as dope. They will tell me, get behind me, Satan. Yes. That's what they will say. But where are they today? So, let me go through the things very quickly. Number one was the temptation. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So you see temptations, you see tests. You know, some of the tests, some of the temptations are being repeated in your life because you've not overcome it yet. Mm-hmm. So you are still writing this. Do you do resets? You know something called resets? Do you call it reset or retake? Both. Yes. Reset, retake. Yes. So you see some of you are retaking some of the tests. Yes. Because you haven't learned some things. You haven't learned some things. So he was tempted. If we go through the readings, you see that Jesus passed this test. Two. Luke chapter 12 and verse 50. These are the things that must be accomplished too. The things that must be accomplished. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how am I straightened till it be accomplished? Do you understand straightened? Okay. I have a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me. And I am under a heavy burden until it is accomplished. You want to try another translation for us? Try. But I have a baptism to undergo. What constraint? You've made it worse. We don't understand constraint. But I have a baptism to undergo. And how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Don't try amplified. I have a baptism of great suffering with which to be baptized, and how greatly I am distressed until it is accomplished. How many of you have written exams and you were really distressed before the exams came up? Uh-huh. What? The word I'm looking for that I was hoping he will find that translation is pressure. Pressure. It's like I am under great pressure for that thing to be done. Because it's like he's taking a bath. It's like he has to go through something. He's going to have a full-blown experience. And he's under pressure until it is done. Because you are under pressure because you don't know whether you'll be successful or not. Whether you'll pass or not. So when you know that this is what you are going through, you wonder, what's going to be the outcome? Will I do well? Will I not do well? Most brides experience this thing when their wedding is coming. Not for minutes, when their wedding is coming. They're very stressed. Because they are wondering, would anything go wrong? I know a bride that, where she had a wedding, you know, there's a place if you're going to have your wedding there, you can come and ask me. It will rain. It will rain heavily from 2 p.m. to like 4 p.m. Heavy rain. You have heavy rain, but the rain stops. When it starts, before the rain, there's no drizzles or gray or gray clouds. No, there's nothing. It just starts raining. 2 p.m., it just starts raining. Exactly 4, it stops. Then the sun comes. It's like, let's life continue. Choleric rain. No, I know a number of people who have been through that. I mean, they are cool. I know one person, when it started raining, she was just taking pictures and being happy and playing games with her bridesmaids. But I know another one. she broke down. The rain. I mean, yes. Meanwhile, that place, it rains. I mean, heavily. For 2 hours. Sometimes 1 to 3. But the most common one is like 2 to 4 or 3 to 5. That's it. Heavy, you can't move. The rain is like the River Thames passing through. But when it ends, it has ended. So the pressure of my wedding is this part.
You started crying.
By 4 o'clock, the rain has stopped. They had to patch up her face. And she came out to have her wedding. But I'm talking about pressure in the ministry. Pressure. Because there's pressure in the ministry. Pressure to get things done. Pressure to meet targets. Pressure to meet deadlines. Pressure to obey God. You know, the type of people who are most under pressure are people that God has spoken to. And they know that God has given them something to do. When you are dealing with them, you will not know. You will not know. That's why you say, oh, he's choleric. Oh, he's this. But the reason why the person is so driven, is that God has spoken. And for him to obey God is life or death. It's like you have to obey God. I have to obey God. I pray that you get to the place where what God has said becomes an instruction to you. Yes. That what God has said brings pressure. That this is what God is saying, or this is what God wants. It must be done. This is what God wants. It must be done because God wants it. So that's what Jesus said. I have baptism with which to be baptized. How greatly I am distressed until it is accomplished. Until it is done, there is pressure. Until we cross this thing, until we get this thing done, until we get this event done, there is pressure. You've had events before, isn't it? You've had concerts, evangelistic program. Was there pressure? Was there tension? There has to be pressure. There has to be tension. There has to be. That's the minute. There has to be tension. I'm happy you are saying, oh, yes. Because it means that you took it seriously. If you don't take it seriously, there'll be no pressure. You think you have to glide through. There's no tension at all. No tension at all. You think, oh, yeah, I just have to glide through. Just have to glide through. But you see tension. You see your enemies. That's what, you know, one of the things that maybe if I was writing the Psalms, I'll write it differently. If I was God, I'll do it differently. Is that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Most people would like their enemies to die. But do you understand that passage? It's saying that I'll give you your sumptuous meal, your victories, whilst your enemies are watching. So it's like, eat whilst they are throwing stones. And if enemies are present, it's not like they are present and they are lame. They are very active. So you have to, in life, you have to learn how to go through pressure and be happy. Pressure and happiness. Distress and happiness. You are working, but everything is not easy and smooth. Everybody is not praising you, but you have to learn how to go through it. Because that is, at a point you said, that is life. That is life. There are some people, it's been their dream to you to buy bucket of, what do you call that thing that they sell in buckets? Yes, chicken. When they could afford the bucket, they could afford 70 buckets. Cholesterol has kicked in. So now how to enjoy life and live well and eat what you want to eat in the presence of your enemies. This is life. Live now. So that's what I'm saying. For some people, it's like once there is opposition, it means God is not there. It means it's not God. Once there's difficulty, But usually what you call difficulty is what you are not willing to confront.
Oh yes.
What you are not willing to, you are not willing to overcome, and the price you are not willing to pay. That is what we call difficulty and opposition. And we feel it's not wisdom. It's not wise. You know, the Bible says that wisdom has hewn out her seven pillars. What I'm saying to you is that thing that you say, it's not wise to do this, it's not wise to make this sacrifice, it's not wise to come here, it's not wise to be this, you know, that wisdom thing that we say. Wisdom, and when you meet her, she will tell you that, I know what is important to me. Yes, you tell, I know what is important to me. I know the things that are important to me, and I know the people that are important to me, and I know the places that are important to me, and I know the duties that are important to me. That's what wisdom will tell you. She has hewn out her seven. She knows the pillars of her life. That's wisdom. In other words, there's some things that wisdom will not turn away from, no matter the pressure, because those are the pillars of her life. Those are the things that make her. Oh, yes. Those are the things that make her. Those are the things that make her who she is and what she is. So that we have the dream and the vision. We have the goal. But we don't want to pay the price for it. Yes. That's what I'm reading to you, through what Jesus went through before he got there. Yes. He went through, because he knows it, but he has to go through it. He has to go through it. It's like a woman who says, I want a baby, but I don't want to be in labor. Even if you opt for CS, it's going to be painful when you finish. Oh, yes. When you finish, that's when you see yourself shouting at your husband, I can't lift. And then you see some of them, because they were told, don't lift heavy things for the first 3 weeks or whatever. Forever, they don't lift again. Forever. Forever. If somebody doesn't step in to say that, hey, the thing is healed. Hey, forever they don't lift. Hey, so the people are champion lazy. Oh, they are lazy. They are in the champion laziness championship. I saw someone there, they had put a clipper. He said, pregnant women when their husbands are not around. And she's dancing. I mean, she's dancing in the house. And then suddenly she hears the door. Hey! Pregnancy is not a disease, oh. It's not a sickness. Yes. Pregnant women when their husbands are not around. You should see them. You should see how they, when it gets to eat it, they can eat. They eat 3 square meals. Square, yes. Not round. 3 square meals. When the husband is coming, they say, And then those who have had the cesarean session, hey! Doctor said that you didn't lift. Even their head. They want the husband to come and hold their head for them. Husband, how am I hold my head? The doctor said, I can't lift anything. I can't even lift my head up. Beautiful. People, it's time to end the service. Number 3 is betrayal. Betrayal. Matthew. Look, this is from the verse for us. Can you see it? I have baptism to be baptized with, and I am under huge pressure until it happened. Huge pressure. Beautiful. Anyway, we've moved on to betrayal. Matthew 21, verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." One of you, he was with the 12. He was not with 5,000. He was with 12 people. His closest with these are the people who turned into apostles. These are his most trusted group that he moves with. He said, "One of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to betray me. One of you will go." Chai. Yeah. One of you is going to go. In a very painful way. In a very, very, one of you is going to cause a very painful experience. Ah, it's 26:21. Okay. Sorry for numbers. Number four. The fourth one is sorrow. Mark 14:34. And saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." Sorrow. Sorrow, I think another word for sorrow is depression. Where you feel heavy. Heavy. Some heaviness comes. And as you see, you are there. Then the heaviness has come. And that's a signal for you to pray. Why is this that signal? Because that's what Jesus did. He said, "Tarry here and watch." It's like we have to pray. We have to pray. Not turn off the lights and draw your curtains and turn off your phone. And change your DP to a black spot. And say that I'm in a dark place. Do what Jesus did. He said, "Tarry ye here and watch." It's like, let's pray. Let's pray. The way I'm feeling, it calls for prayer. Hey, because sometimes you don't know what is coming. And if you're a spiritual person, and your spiritual network and frequency and wavelengths are working, you will see that suddenly there's a feeling. There's a feeling. And don't disregard feelings. When the feelings come, it's a signal to pray. Rise up and pray. It doesn't have to be a church prayer meeting. You are alone. Everybody is not feeling like that. As you are having the feelings and you are picking the signals up. Somebody, if he's feeling hungry and eating chicken, and you are waiting for the person to start praying before you pray. It's time to pray. You have to pray. When the feeling comes, pray. Before Satan gives you another agenda of turning the lights off, drawing the curtains, refusing to brush your teeth, refusing to come out of the room, refusing to have your bath. You say, "I can't move." Sorrow. Jesus experienced sorrow on the journey. Sometimes you have very painful experiences. Oh yeah, painful experiences. Things that make you very sad. Five. Abandonment. Matthew 26:74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, sometimes the actions, I'm speaking from the point of a pastor, some of the actions of some church members, it's like, "I don't know you." Oh, yes. I mean, these are people that maybe you've laughed with, shared jokes. I mean, it's like you expect that in time of difficulty, the person should even be able to make an excuse for you. Yeah. That, "Oh, you are not like that. You are not upset. You are not angry. You are not, I mean, it's like, I'm not angry at you. But that is when you say, no, I don't know him that way. I don't know him. He's a very wicked and hard man. Difficult to please. Hey. That's what Peter is doing here. About this abandonment, I don't know him. Don't know him. He's a strange person to me. He's some crazy man. I'm even afraid to go back to the church. Hey, you're afraid to go back to the church. Thank you. Thank you. May you not be afraid to go to your house. But you see the prodigal boy. After he went, when he came to his senses, he actually said, I'm going back to my father. I'm going to him. It means that he's not afraid of him. He doesn't see his father as some scary human being. He was some wicked man. But when they're abandoning you, they give the impression and convince themselves that you are some wicked person. That you can't relate with, you can't deal with, you can't talk to him. He doesn't understand anything. I can't even go to him and talk to him about if like the issue. If there's an issue. Yes, the issue. That's abandonment. People will abandon. And people will abandon you. Yes, people will abandon you. Not first timers. No. First time, you can't apply such a word to a first timer. The person is just a visitor. People you have counseled, prayed for, prayed with, eaten with, traveled with, recommended, given opportunities. You see, one day they wake up and say, oh, you're a very wicked man. You're a very, very, very wicked man. I can't relate with you. You don't understand. You, I know how you are. You don't understand things. That's it. Hey. Six. I have to move faster now. Six says, contradiction of sinners. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3 says that for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. If you are following Jesus, you will see what he saw. He says, see so. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. I think we don't understand contradiction of sinners, isn't it? So give it to us in English so that we can understand contradiction of sinners. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Wow. Then you won't become worried and give up. Okay, try again. Try something else. Same. It sounds the same. Just consider, meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it. Consider it all in comparison with your trials. Try another one. Do you have ESV or NIV? Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against. Okay, what about NIV? Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose. So I think you must understand contradiction of sinners by now. Yes. The people who don't qualify to criticize you and to fight you are the ones who are fighting you. Yes. What have you done? You've only helped them. If you think and you crack your brains, you've only helped them. And if you had not been that you are their shepherd or their pastor, you never would have tried to counsel them or to correct them. Never. I mean, it's like, it hasn't even come up. The only reason why you spoke is because you're in a position of responsibility that, I'm a pastor of these people. of this person. Let me tell this person that, oh, do like this, do this, or be like this way. Otherwise, there is no record of any evil or wicked intent towards the person. And then such a person will rise up and say, hey, you think about it. What did Jesus do? What has he done? Are you killing him for the miracles? Or for his teachings? Or for the wisdom? Or for the anointing? Or for, are you saying you don't know him because he went to your mother-in-law's house to heal her? Opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. When you go through it, be encouraged. Be encouraged that, look, Jesus went through it, so it's okay. 7, accusations. Don't worry, I'll control myself on this one. Mark 14:57. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Neither so dead their witness agree together. So, coming up with stories, false stories. Accusations. I told you I'll control myself. So let me go to number 8. Number 8 is hatred. John 15:25. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in the law. They hated me without a cause. They hated me without a cause. 9 is envy. Matthew 27:17. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, who will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. People be envious of you. Yeah. If they were envious of Christ, they will be envious of you. And it will make them do things out of envy. To remove you, to kick you out, to kick you off. To get people to leave you. Just out of envy. Well, don't you like? I keep asking, if you have 5,000 children and they're all good, nice children, how many people wish you happy birthday? I can't hear you. 5,000. And if you have 2 children, how many people wish you? 2. Yeah, so if you have 2 children and you get 2, someone has 5,000, why are you envious of the person who has 5,000? Why are you asking the person with 5,000 children that, why, are you worshiping your father? Your 2 children too, are they worshiping you? I don't get it. I don't get it. Before I realize now, the children will feel as though they are doing something wrong. Is there something wrong in saying to your father, happy birthday? Or saying to your mother, happy Mother's Day? Is there something wrong with it? Sit down, let's finish and go home, okay? Today is Easter Sunday, isn't it? So today we go home early. Today is the day we go home early. We don't do many things. There are no meetings today. No meetings. All meetings are cancelled. No, you didn't know. Easter Sunday, there are no meetings. We all go home. It's family day. We all go to our families. So in case you didn't have a plan, start planning now. Start planning what you're going to do with your wife or your wives. Start planning now to take them out.
Because I can see two brothers sitting with their wives and they didn't have a plan. So now they must plan. And sometimes wives, the Bible says that you are a help suitable for them too. So if they don't have a plan, come up with a plan. When you sit in the car, just say, oh, let's go here. Yes. It's not every day somebody's son should organize your life for you. What? Where did you get that verse from? Somebody's son, every time. He's also somebody's son. He doesn't know what to do. He's never married before. If you have married before, you have ideas. Bring it to the table. Let's discuss. Have we reached number 10? Oh no, number 9 is envy. So number 10 is rejection. Why did you say we haven't reached number 10? So number 10 is rejection. Okay. Luke 17:24. For us the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. 25. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Be rejected. That's why I asked you. I asked you one of the easiest rejections you can ever see, that somebody broke up with you or you broke up with someone. You feel rejected, isn't it? You feel like, even if the person, you discover the person is like some very bad boy, you still feel it. It's like, hey, he didn't like me. Especially when you hear he's got another beloved. You're always looking at the person he's got. Whether the person looks like you, whether the person is like him. It's like, what does she have that I don't have? Yes. You're always analyzing the person all the time. What does she have? What is she like? Is she like me? Is she really like me? Did he really like me? Is he like this? Like, you know, you always want to see. That's why the ladies always want to see. Yeah, I don't know why they want to see, because guys, we don't really mind. It's like, if you've gone, be gone. But the girls want to see. And then they'll be asking questions. Is it true? So who knows? Was it a recommendation? Was it his own choice? Was it this? Hey. Hey. Rejected. I mean, I've suffered rejection before. Jesus also suffered rejection. Yes, suffered rejection. He also suffered rejection. And the last point for today is the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Resurrection. So you also be resurrected. Amen. Yes, you also come back to life. Amen. Mm. And it is necessary. You remember what I told you about resurrection? It means there's a dying before. There's a dying before a coming back to life. Look at it. You know, I think one of the best chapters that you see about resurrection is 1 Corinthians 15. Yes, it's one of the, I don't know, if you have a better one, you can tell me. So let's read through very quickly. Pray for me that I can read through before MD tells me to sit down. First Corinthians 15, verse 12. It says that now if Christ
If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no, are you listening? This is a very important part. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, that is useless. And your faith is also vain. Do you remember Romans 10, 9 and 10? Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that the Lord God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Your salvation is linked to resurrection. It's not linked to membership of a church. That's what I'm saying to you, that today is the most important day for a Christian. This is the day you have to understand. This is the day you have to understand. And this is the day you have to understand and see the importance of the resurrection. Because for you, so that I can read through quickly, for you, you need the dying and the resurrecting, because you can't take this body to heaven. Hey, I mean, look at the things you've done so far. Look at it. By 24, look at what this body has been through. And then you arrive in heaven with it, with the feelings and the lusts and the cravings and the imaginations and the envies and the jealousies. And the, I mean, can you imagine when you get to heaven, you go and before you're accusing David. You're accusing King David that he knew you were coming. That's why he changed the music. Yes. So you see, I mean, we'll get there. Let's read quickly. You see that this body, this is not the body that you are going to get there with. You get there with another body that body doesn't have feelings and lusts and cravings. Because you have to arrive there purer. Without the lusts that you have now. The lust that you have then, this, you see a guy, it's like one lady is not enough for him. He's doing this, like he has appetite for more. And the ladies don't understand. She's wondering why she's sitting next to him in the car and he's looking at someone through the rearview mirror. Yes. Adjusting it. And you see, ladies become so conscious of that thing very early. Sometimes the person is not looking. They start saying he's looking. Oh, yes. They become very conscious of that thing very, 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 very young. They use the word staring. Why are you staring? Meanwhile, the person is not looking. What you think he's looking like, he has not even seen it. I mean, sometimes he has. Yes. Before you feel I'm defending something that can be, sometimes he has. More often than not, he has. More often than not. Yes. More often than not, he has. He has seen. Yes. I mean, who will see a beautiful thing that you won't notice? Are you the last born of beauty? Yes. Yes. Sometimes you see one that has bigger hips, you say, hey, because you see, he's looking because he has to compare that something is missing. It's like you are beautiful, but I can see that there's something missing on your body. And it's like, By the time he'll be able to process it, you've caught him. So when you see him looking, it just means that he's seen something that he's not seen before. So, and he's wondering why you don't have some. Whether there's something that can be done. Which verse are we on? Yea. And we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. How many believe that you are still in your sins? Because Christ has been raised. Yes. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. As those who have died in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Are you following this reading of the scriptures? But now, verse 20 says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. That means that Christ is the first fruit of those who will be resurrected. So others will also be resurrected. He's the first. He's the first example. And Christ is always the first example. That's what I was reading. Temptation, envy, this. He led the way. He showed that this is the path. This is the path. That's why I say, if any man will come after me, he should take up his cross and follow me. If you want to have a decent Christian life, there are people you have to suffer, and you have to get out of your life. There are some sufferings, and people who will reject you. There are people who will reject you because now you're not interested in some things anymore. That is your cross. You can't have both worlds. You can't have both worlds. I don't know anybody who plays both worlds and have done well in their faith. Yeah. So Christ is the first fruit of those who slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Praise the Lord. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I thought you say amen. Amen. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at his coming. It means that when Christ comes, all those who have died in Christ will resurrect. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Every single person who believed in Jesus. At the return of Christ, all those people shall also resurrect. All of them shall resurrect. And those who are alive already, they also will be caught up. So, 23, is that where we are? 24, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son of Man also be subdued. Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Never mind, you do understand, isn't it? Now, I want to jump to verse 35. It says that. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Because when people die, they decompose. So it's like, how are they going to raise up? How are they going? Is this skeletons that we are going to see? These are intelligent questions. And with what body do they come? Then verse 36. It's not me, it's the Bible. He says that, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. What he's saying here is that if you're going to plant maize, do you know maize? Yes, you're going to plant maize. When you put the maize in the ground, what comes out? Does the thing that comes out that is growing green with leaves, does it look like the maize you put in the ground? That's why he started with saying, thou fool. Thou fool. How come when you are planting seeds, what else do you plant with seeds? You don't plant anything. You don't know anything. People are not into gardening. They don't know. What? Oranges. Tomatoes, you use seeds. Okay. Now you are talking. So the things you are mentioning, flowers, tomatoes, maize, all these things, what is acid? When you are putting in the ground, is it the tomato fruit that you take, that you put in the ground? And then when it all comes round, the tree or the other is red. The red fruits that are coming out of the ground. Is that how it comes? Uh-huh. So he's saying, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That is, it doesn't become alive and start growing unless it rots and dies and disappears. Okay. So verse 37, are you understanding the Bible? Yes. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. In other words, but bare grain. That's what it says. So it means you sow a seed. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Yeah, so you plant the seed, and then God has decided that this seed is going to come out with a new body, a new frame. 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another of fishes, and another of birds. I think that one you can understand it. Yeah. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. In other words, there are no two stars that are the same. 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Yes, this is your body. I mean, if you know this is your body, I don't say corrupt, but it's spot. This body, I mean, and it's been spot long time ago, and you're going to live for like another 80 years. It's going to be even more some way. So we need the resurrection because we have to die. We have to die because of this body. It has to disappear, and then another body comes up so that we can make it to eternity and to heaven. Because you can't go with it. This body is too corrupt to go there. You can't arrive in heaven with the bad thoughts, bad negative thoughts. Nothing is true. I mean, even in church, I mean, if you have bad thoughts in church. Oh, yeah. These days, I don't mind anymore. I really don't mind anymore. But sometimes, you know, I finish preaching and I hear someone is saying that this example I was saying was him. And these days, I really don't mind. Because I'm happy that it applies to you. Because, yeah, I'm telling you my mind now. My mind is, as I'm preaching to you. So if at the end you say that it's you, I don't mind. It's up to you to receive it well. It's up to you not to get angry. It's up to you to interpret it well and receive. So I don't mind anymore. I used to say, oh, how? It's not him. No, 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 it's you. Don't even bother to say that it was you. It is you. I mean, who else am I preaching to? I must be mad to be walking here and talking as if I'm talking to the tiles on the ceiling. It's like, you see, so you were sown in corruption. You are going to come up in corruption. Light, do you understand what I'm saying? Who am I talking to? Next time you feel it is you, let me tell you today on Easter Sunday that it is you. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It is you. I mean, it is you. And now I feel so happy when the message is applicable. And someone discovers that it means like, I actually feel very encouraged. Many years ago, I used to feel, no. Was it this service I was saying today that most of my examples are the other church 30 years ago? Yeah, most of my examples are 20 years ago, 25 years ago. That's most of my examples, that's what it is. You should have seen me preaching to them a few days ago. I tell them directly, it's you. This one is you. Because I can't give them the examples from here, there. No, it won't work. Yes. So there, I tell them. But here, I give you the example so that you learn from it. Yes, I've seen all types. I mean, it's very rare to see a new problem that I've not seen before. When I see Andrew saying, well, this person is like this one. This one is like this one. This one is like this one. When you say it's you, oh, cry. Do you understand? Cry. Today I'm teaching you expressions. It is actually you. Don't bother to complain about it because it is you. It is soon 43. Should we end? I think it's time to. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. How be that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So, if you jump carefully, you will see the end of this long discussion. It says that, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Yes. Yes. My plan was to read all the way to the end, but I think you understand. I've given you the key parts. Yes, I give you the key parts. I pray you go and have your quiet time from 1 Corinthians 15 to understand the resurrection. That what has happened to Jesus today that we are celebrating, which is the basis of our faith. That if he has not resurrected, that means that it's over for us. I mean, it's over. Everything we are doing is useless. But he has resurrected. There are about 10 different accounts or witnesses in the scriptures that talk about his resurrection. Yes. Those who went to the tomb, they say he is not there. A huge stone was put at the place. It was sealed. When they were going, they were discussing who rolled this stone away for us. When they got there, the stone was gone. And he was not there. Then those who saw him, those who he appeared to. So Christ is resurrected. And we are also going to resurrect. Because we have to die. Do you understand? We have to die. One day we will die. You either attend my funeral or attend your funeral. Yes. One day we will die. But, you know, that's this same passage that we're reading. That's why it says that death, where is thy sting? Because we have, when we experience that thing, the next thing that is coming is resurrection. And then somebody will ask the question that this body, when you go, it's decomposed, it's for, how can you resurrect? That's why he's asking that question. When you are planting your oranges, you put a seed down. Is it oranges that come out of the ground? God chooses and gives it another body. So the same way, he's going to give us a spiritual body. Hey, heaven is going to be glorious and beautiful. Yes. The thing about heaven is that we'll recognize each other. Yes, even though the body is different, but when you see that, this is Samson. This is Samson. And then also, if you read one of Rick Joyner's books, he says that the relationships are the same. The only thing that's not there is the lust and the feelings. Yes. Because he met someone's wife. And he said, tell the wife that you look so beautiful. I mean, it's like you look so beautiful. And she explained that this is the beauty I had when my husband met me. This is how pure I was. I was this pure and beautiful. But it's like the marriage and the relationship corrupted me. It affected it. Because people are affected when they marriage is one of the things you can use that causes people are affected by marriage. Yes, they start changing. So we'll see that we know each other. That's how the rich man could see Lazarus. You see, Lazarus had eyes, he had a tongue, he had all those things. He said, Lazarus, come and cool my tongue. So it's like the body Lazarus had and he, the rich man, had, they could recognize each other. That's Lazarus. He could even make out Abraham. He said, that's Abraham. Abraham is there. Abraham is there. Lazarus is there. So I also see this person is there. What's your name? Yeah, that's Whitney. You're the announcement girl. Yes, that's Whitney. Yes. So you see, I don't know what kind of hair you have, but you know, all those things, but we'll see that it's her. It's her. You see how I know this person. So that's the same thing in heaven. You say, that's Monique. That's Monique. I know her. That's her. Yes, that's her. You see that we know each other. We see each other, but with purer feelings. Have you seen the lady now that when you see her, they say, Kabaluga. Or either you drink it in. When you see her in heaven, you will recognize her, but this time without those sensual, earthly feelings. Because it's heaven. It's going to be purer. It's going to be nicer. It's going to be wonderful. You can. That's when you can visit alone because there will be no fornication. Yes. Yeah. You can visit. You can go and chill. Go and relax. Relax in someone's apartment. That's what the scripture says, that your labor is not in vain. So don't stop. Don't stop working hard to have a mansion. You must have mansions. Because people will be coming on visitation to come and check you out. Yes, we want to go and see, where does Paul Asho live? Where is Paul Asho's house in heaven? Yes. Want to see the house. Yes. Yes. You go. You see, now you when you go and visit someone, there'll be problems. You are there alone. There'll be problems. You are suffering. She is suffering. Before you realize, you will say to us that one thing led to the other. Before you realize some situations are happening in the place. But this time when you go, nothing will happen. Nothing. You'll be there for a long time. I don't know that we sleep. You fall asleep and wake up. Because the scripture says there'll be time no more. Yes, there'll be time no more. So it's going to be a beef because we'll be in different. I mean, if you are looking forward to this body, yes. When we get there, I mean, all the problems you have in this body, the fears, the depression, the sorrows, the anxiety. It's all going to be over. Stand to your feet and take your communion. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Take your communion. It's a long time we sang Brothers, Sisters. Like we sang on Good Friday, yes. So you want to sing it, yes. Andrew is good at playing it. He'll play it for us.
Brothers, sisters, we are one. And our lives have just begun. In the Spirit, we are young. And we'll live forever. Sons of God.
Today for paying the price for us, suffering for us, loving us, not holding back, not giving up, but going all the way that we'll be saved and healed. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus, the body of Christ. Eat it. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that washes away our sins, that cleanses us, that heals our iniquities, our trespasses. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Drink all of it. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Resurrection Sunday, Lord. The beginning of new things. Thank you for life that is being transmitted to us by faith. Amen. Through the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us, Lord. Lord, we claim that from today, every dying thing shall live in us, Lord, shall live again. Everything that seemed to be withering shall receive life, oh God. Our faith, our spirituality, our prayer life, Lord. All that concerns us for righteousness, Lord. May it come alive once again. Let your blessings accompany your people for this week and for this new year and this new season. Thank you for a blessing, Lord. Thank you for a new lease of life, Lord. We believe that Jesus lives. Therefore, we shall live, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for abundant blessing. Save us from shame. Save us from sorrow. Save us from disgrace. Save us from every dart of the enemy, Lord. Thank you for life. And thank you for your blessing. Through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now while every eye is closed, every head is bowed. You are here this afternoon. Somebody invited you to church. But deep in your heart, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This afternoon, you want to say that, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, if you are here like that, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Very quickly, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Wherever you are standing, while every eye is closed, every head is bowed. God bless you. I can see your hand there. I can see your hand there. Just your right hand. Pastor, pray with me. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus today. Today is my day. I want to give my life to Jesus. Just your right hand and I'll pray with you. And I'll pray with you. God bless you. I can see your hands. If you have your hand lifted up, I want to do one more thing. Just come to me right here in the front. Come quickly so I can pray with you. Yes, come out of your seat. Come all the way. Come all the way. Maybe you're about to lift up your hand. You have not lifted it yet. You can also join us. You can also join us right here. Come. Come as well. Come. I'm waiting for you. Come. Come and join us. Yes. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Come and join us right here in the front. Prayer with me, say it after me. I'll lead you in this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, please forgive me of all my sins. I am sorry for all the bad things I have done. I am really sorry for turning my back on you, for rejecting you. I receive your love today. Your love of forgiveness, your love of mercy. Please have mercy on me. I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe Jesus is alive today. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Now say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Please come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Say, thank you, Father, for accepting me and making me a child of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Beautiful.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. For more information, follow us on social media. Search for First Love London on Facebook and YouTube, and First Love UK on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Have a blessed week.